There's 35 people that are in the meeting, and I see that we do have a quorum. So let's go ahead and give everybody about another 30 seconds just to be able to be logged in here. And then what I'd like to do is then I'd like to call the meeting to order. Okay. And it looks as though that we are all recording, and it appears as though that everybody is in. And so, got about 38 people in the meeting here. So, hello everybody. My name is Frank True, and I am the chair of the Cosmetology, Hair Design, Aesthetics, Manicuring, and Masters Aesthetics Advisory Board. The time right now is 10:03. At a.m. on Thursday, October 26th, I'm calling this meeting to order. This is a public meeting.
Are you all
meeting.
Done?
Oh, if you could please mute your mic, that would be really helpful. If you're not on the board, thank you so much. This meeting is open to the public. We will take time at the end of the meeting for brief public comment period. Participants have no more than 3 minutes to address the board. As a reminder, board members, you're not to engage in any of the conversation with observers when listening to public comments. As a courtesy, we want to encourage all participants to mute themselves when you're not speaking to reduce the amount of background noise. One of the challenges is remembering to unmute yourself when you're speaking. So board members, to help us capture your information correctly, please state your name when you're making comments. I know that some of you are calling in via phone, so it might be a challenge for us to be able to identify you on screen. So at this time, we're going to invite Sandra, if you could go ahead and do a roll call, please.
Thank you, Chair True. And I will start with you, Chair True.
All right, I'm present.
Thank you. Vice Chair Garcia?
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Reyes Nygaard? Board Member Martin?
Present.
Thank you. Board Member Wilkins?
I think that I heard something there.
Thank you.
Okay, perfect.
Perfect, thank you. And Board Member Thomas?
Present.
Perfect, thank you. Back to you, Chair True.
All right, perfect. All right. Well, thank you everyone for attending the meeting here. As we're only going to have a quorum for a short time today, I propose that we move the agenda item 7.1 2024 calendar review immediately following agenda item number 4, which is the approval of minutes. This is to ensure that we can have a vote on the 2024 calendar. So upon completion of the agenda item, we're going to follow the remainder of the agenda as we published it online. So do I have a motion to approve the agenda with the proposed change?
I make a motion to that.
Sorry. Great. Thank you so much. So we have a motion on the table. I'm looking for a second.
I second. Sylvia.
All right. So we have a first and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any oppose? Any abstaining? All right. So the motion carries. So this will be the agenda that we'll be moving forward. Board members, you should have received your minutes for July 27th, 2023. If you could go ahead and I'm sure you've reviewed it. And is there any questions regarding those minutes at all? Hearing none, I'd like to request a motion to approve the minutes.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Right. Perfect. We have a motion on the table. Do I have a second?
Sylvia seconding.
All right. We have a first and a second. All those in favor of approving the meeting minutes from July 27th, say aye.
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 Any oppose? Any abstaining? All right. Motion carries. So those minutes will be accepted. Now we'd like to be able to move to agenda item number 7, which is our new business. This is regarding the 2024 calendar review. Sandra, I'd like to ask you to be able to present the 2024 calendar.
Is it not sharing?
Oh, it is sharing. Okay. So as you can see, I'm speaking to the board members, but also members of the public too that are on the call. These are the proposed dates for the 2024 calendar. And with a proposed start time of 10 o'clock, one of the items that we discussed as a board was to move it from Thursday to Monday, as we believe that the industry, it'll allow greater accessibility for the industry, as many of our salon spas and barbershops are closed actually on a Monday. And so I think that this will, this is what we're going to roll out for 2024. All right. And I think that for at this moment here, Sandra or Sandy, I'd like to ask you, do I need to call for a motion, or is this presentation enough?
Yes. Yeah, so you would need a motion.
Right.
And for the folks who are on the phones, I know a few people are calling in. If you don't mind, Gertrude, can I go ahead and read the dates?
Please. Thank you.
Proposed? Okay. Perfect. So the proposed dates that we have, are Monday, April 8th, 2024, Monday, July 8th, 2024, and Monday, October 7th, 2024. This would still be meeting starting at 10 a.m. Just as Gertrude said, we moved it to Mondays, just to make it a little bit more accessible for folks who since we've had a bit of a challenge having folks come to the Thursday meetings.
Right. All right. Great. Well, thank you so much. And right now, I mean, I'm seeing 42 people in this meeting. This is a great turnout, and hopefully we'll even have more in 2024. So at this time, I'd like to entertain a motion to be able to accept the 2024 calendar dates. Do I have a motion on the table?
I make a motion to accept the calendar dates on the table.
All right, great. Thank you so much. I am looking for a second.
I can second that motion. This is Ayanna Thomas.
All right, thank you so much. So we have a first and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Any opposed? Any abstaining? Motion carries. So please add these onto your agenda, to your calendars for 2024. All right. We'd like to be able to move on to, back to now to agenda item number 5 under awards and recognition. We're going to go ahead and do an introduction of the military spouse liaison, Jason Lynn. And I'd like to be able to, turn it over to Sandy and Jason for this agenda item.
Thank you, Chair True. It is my great pleasure to introduce Mr. Lynn to you. I'd like to turn the floor over to him so he can talk a little bit about himself and his position.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your meeting today and introduce myself. As you can see on the slide there, I was born and raised in Florida and attended the University of Alabama, where I graduated and from the business school with a bachelor's in finance. Shortly after, I joined the Navy. I spent 20 years in the Navy. I was a linguist, so I worked as a language analyst. Just retired last year, so met my wife, have 3 children who joined me on that journey. So I'm really excited now to be joining the Department of Licensing in this role. I will be a part of a program that is helping military spouses transfer and obtain their license here in Washington, especially when they move from other jurisdictions. So we're really excited to help this community. It's something that is important to me. As we start to put this program into practice, I do want to mention that we sent out some training. It was put together by Olivia Burley at the Department of Washington State Department of Veterans Affairs. That went out on October 4th. So that is part of our implementation process to get this program going. So all of our boards will want to complete that training. The link is in there. And then just complete a survey and send it back to us. We'll go ahead and track completion of that for you. But other than that, if anyone has any questions, I'm free to answer. But thank you for allowing me to be here, and I'm glad to be a part of the team here.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Can anybody hear me? I don't know how this really works.
Great. And Sandy, let's see here. I just wanted to clarify. So at this time, for members of the public, are they able to ask questions according to the board rules?
Not at this time. They'll need to save those and for public comments.
Okay.
And perfect. Mr. Scott.
They can hear you.
Yes. We can hear you and ask that you save your comments to the public comment section. Thank you.
Okay.
Just mute.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Sandy. And I'm excited to be able to hear Mr. Scott's question and comment. Mr. Lynn, we're really excited to be able to have you on board. I know that the work that you do is going to be really important to not only the members of the military here, but also to their families as well. And so I'd like my one question from me really is, you know, for our licensing portion as a cosmetologist, esthetician, barber, you know, nail tech, and if they were to be able to come in, what would your role be? So they identify that they are a military, they're a military spouse. How does their application process get processed through this journey here?
Uh-huh. Yeah, great question. There's actually legislation, House Bill 1009 came into place that said that we need to be putting into practice expedited licensing, and or possibly temporary licensing when it may apply, to allow folks coming in with licenses from other jurisdictions, or applying for licenses. So we are fast streaming that to make sure that they are able to get back to work as quickly as possible. There's also federal legislation, and we're still working through that as well, about portability. So we will start to kind of work through that process as well. So that's really where I will play a role, is helping ensure that the military spouses have someone to go to if they have issues, or helping make that a reality for them when they come here.
And then when you spoke to about portability, are you speaking in reference to like the compact, the concept of the compact that's floating, or are there other vehicles that are being floated out there?
It's not really a compact. It's a piece of the new legislation that was signed by the president back in January. Okay. It is still very, I mean, we're still working through some of this stuff. So we're still just now getting it off the ground, but, there's some things in motion that are, that we're working through to try and help folks come here, from the military community. And when they get here, help them get licensed as quickly as possible here.
Thank you. Just like to give another minute. Any other board members have questions that they'd like to address, Mr. Lynn?
This is Sylvia, and I just wanted to say that this is one of the conference topics about portability of licensing and being able to move from state to state. So hopefully I'll have something to report on that at the next meeting as well.
Thank you so much, Sylvia. And we're really excited to be able to have you be part of that conversation down in New Mexico, with other representatives around the country too.
Thank you. Great.
All right. I don't see any other questions, from the board members. So, Mr. Lynn, thank you so much. We look forward to continuing to be able to work with you. And I'd like to be able to move on to agenda item number 5.2, which is board member announcement. I'll go ahead and ask Sandra if you could go ahead and provide us an update.
Yeah, thank you, Chair True. So we are happy to announce the reappointment of two board members, Sylvia Garcia, currently serving as vice chair as a representative for vocational school, and Shauna Martin as representative for manicurist profession. So both of them are more than qualified and have brought so much to the board. And so we're happy to keep you on and continue working with you. We also are in the process of filling a couple of other positions. We did bring Erica Cooper Deaton into the master esthetician position, and Siobhan Hildebrand into the cosmetologist position. And I have a little bit more information about them. Erica is a passionate licensed master esthetician and educator in Bellevue, Washington. She has degrees from both the Euro Institute of Skincare and the Washington Laser institute as well as NCEA certification. Her credentials speak to the dedication she carries for her industry. And drawing from her diverse work experiences, Erica will bring a fresh perspective of her industry to the board, driven by her deep love for aesthetics and commitment to helping others. And beyond her aesthetic qualifications, she holds master's degrees in industrial organization psychology and a bachelor's in English literature. Erica, did you want to speak to the board at all?
I just want to say how grateful I am for the opportunity to represent Master Estheticians in Washington, that I really love this industry, and it's true, I have a deep passion for it. So I'm excited to join in this process for the next 3 years. And if anyone ever has any questions or concerns or would like to speak, I'm very accessible, and please feel free to communicate with me directly.
Thank you. And Siobhan Hildebrand is a licensed cosmetologist operating out of Kirkland, Washington. She has a BSc degree from Washington State University and an MSc degree from University of Lethbridge. She also has education in through Jean Juarez Academy. She's well-versed in her industry with over 10 years of experience practicing cosmetology, and she's bringing firsthand knowledge and expertise to the board. Siobhan, did you want to share anything with the board?
Hi. I don't have a whole lot to say. Just thank you for having me, and I'm excited to be here.
And we're happy to have you both on. back to you, Chair Drew.
Yeah, well, no, we really are. And I think that, you know, your background and your insight is really going to be able to help us advance the sector here. So we're very much looking forward to getting you trained and making you an active part of this board here. So welcome to both of you. I'd like to be able to take a moment to also recognize some of our departing members. I know that, you know, we had three board members that that were really instrumental in these last few years, especially as we're coming out of COVID. And I'd like to be able to recognize Jerry Markland, Laura Olsha, and also Curtis Rice as well. And I know that I wanted to be able to thank Jerry. Jerry, you've been part of the industry, not only as a cosmetologist, but also as a regional director and also a general manager, which are experiences you brought to our discussion. I want to thank you for bringing in that perspective, not only as a cosmetologist, but also as a director and as a manager of multiple locations. I think that that's added tremendously to the resources that we have here on the board. I'd also like to be able to recognize and thank Curtis Rice as well. I mean, he has a really unique role spanning 30 years as a barber, but also not only representing the barbering sector, but also as an educator and a licensed instructor. I mean, with that combination, Curtis has really added a lot to our discussion. And I think that it's not only to the professional side, but also to address the education side as we're looking at cultivating strong future professionals for our sector. And Laura, it's really been neat for her to come in as a master esthetician. I know that she's been an esthetician for nearly 20 years, 10 of which as a master esthetician. And it's been really, really critical to have her insight as the different trends have been emerging in that area. And also her perspective as the owner of the Sweet Spot, right, which her type of ownership represents many ownerships here in Washington of sole proprietors. And so if you can, board members, just reach up to that react button right there and hit the clapping motion so we can go ahead and give them a quick round of applause just to be able to thank them for their service. And please accept our gratitude, and we're excited to be able to welcome the new board members as well to join us in the work ahead. So with that, I'd like to be able to switch back now to old business. And Sandy, I'm going to go ahead and defer over to you to speak to combined license prints. And if you could go ahead and help us address that.
Yes, thank you, Chair True. So I was able to get with our licensing department and really provide clarity in my own space to this issue. So I reached out to the licensing, and to receive an instructor license, the applicant must first be licensed in that profession. For example, if you want to be a a manicurist instructor, you must first be a licensed manicurist. So once the application has an instructor license, they can either continue to renew that professional license or they can allow that professional license to expire. So here's the little click. If both the professional license and the instructor license is canceled, it will stay in an expired status for 1 year before being finally canceled. And in order to reinstate that instructor license, the licensee must first reinstate their professional license. That may include continuing education or retaking exams. Once the professional license is reinstated, then they can reinstate their instructor license. One question was, can an instructor operate professionally with their instructor license? Yes, they can. However, one issue that we're facing right now is if someone with their instructor license that allowed their professional license to expire, then moves to a different state and then attempts to apply for a professional license in that state, we cannot send verification of an active professional license. And that causes delays and frustrations. So when you're reinstating your professional license, you probably don't need continuing education, but you may definitely need to retake those exams. And that can get a little bit confusing and frustrating. Some other questions that we had were, do instructors have to keep their professional licenses active? That is a decision completely up to the instructor. I have touched a little bit on what can happen if you let both lapse. So that's completely up to the individual licensee. And one of the other questions we had was, does the instructor license also display operator on their license? Unfortunately, it does not. When the Department of Licensing upgraded their operation system, how the instructor and the professional license printed is a little bit changed. Now each license is printed separately instead of printed on one license. The word operator was also removed on the instructor license. However, the endorsements for each license type are still printed on those licenses. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions. Yes, right, Board Member Martin.
So Board Member Martin, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead and ask your question.
You're muted.
It's like my first.
How did you put your hand?
Listen, okay, so that's a lot to unload. And so I have a couple of topics to piggyback on that. One, is it clearly stated on the DOL website that the separate sections in which an instructor would also have to apply for the operator license? And if so, are the fees separate? Because I don't know that if that's ever, then again, I don't know if I've actually really paid attention to it, but is it clearly stated operator versus instructor? Because I think for the past decade, we've all just assumed that it's synonymous. So is it clearly stated? That's my one question. And then secondly, where you were talking about, like, when they don't have both active, then they relocate to a different state and all of that. Is there some sort of like an outline of bullets that state the steps in order to keep that, to avoid any problems? Like, is there directions? Is there instructions on how to handle that on the DOL website? And if not, can we try to move towards getting something like that created and put on the website that's easily located?
That's a great question. And I believe we have a representative from the licensing department here. Either Jamie or Julia, are you able to take that question?
Sorry, I was, this is Julia. Apologize, I was distracted for a moment. So we're asking about information on the website. That is something that I'm going to need to research. We have recently had updates to our website. I don't know if y'all know, but you all just completely redid our website, which even staff are still trying to learn exactly where everything is. Fees are listed on the website, and it does include the fee for first license, the renewal, and the late renewal fee. I know there were other questions there. I apologize. Can you?
So with somebody that has multiple licenses, let's say an upwards of five licenses, mm-hmm. and they want to keep their operator's license active, they would then be required to pay for each individual license as an operator and Correct. Then also slash pay for the instructor license to have all of the endorsements listed on the instructor license. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And then each license is 65?
66 for each license for the individual operator type licenses.
Yeah. How does somebody look into, or who do they connect with, checking into the operator license of that and then making sure that those are all current? And then also, is there a time frame in which these people would have had to get on top of that before it's all the way expired? So it's kind of confusing mm-hmm. because if you're an instructor and you have five licenses and then you did not keep up on the operator side of it, let's say in upwards of 5+ years, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I need to operate. Then what happens? Are the endorsements still there?
No. So as long as you've kept the instructor license active, you can operate. You don't need to worry. Let's say 5 years ago, you had five licenses, you had your instructor license. And 5 years ago, you let the operator licenses expire. Then this year, you let your instructor license expire. You have a year to renew that with just the late renewal fee. If at the end of that year, you haven't renewed, it goes into a canceled status. It's at that point that you, in order to reinstate the instructor license, you would also have to reinstate all of those operator licenses.
Okay, so to confirm, if you have an instructor license that you've kept active with all of your endorsements on it, you are still qualified to operate as well.
Correct.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I see hands that are coming up. I'd like to mm-hmm. be able to recognize Board Vice Chair Garcia, but then also before that, I'd like to be able just to address Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott, I see that your hand is up. We'll go ahead and ask you to reserve your questions to the end of the meeting. But if you'd like, you're welcome to type into the chat. And if it corresponds to one of the board members' questions, we can see if we can go ahead and link those things together. So I just wanted to be able to give you options there too. All right. So we'll go ahead.
Chair True, our chat has been disabled. It's not available for everyone in the public to see it. So we had to disable that.
Oh, we did. Okay. All right. Then I was hoping to give Mr. Scott some different options, but we'll have to defer, just to the rules of the meeting and ask Mr. Scott to ask his questions at the end then. So I'll go ahead and I'd like to be able to ask, Vice Chair Garcia for her to ask her question.
Thank you, Chair True. I guess I'm looking for some clarification, and I know we just got some with Shauna, but and I always preface this with I've been around forever, ever, so I kind of know the history. Up until Polaris came into place, we had been informed as instructors that we had an instructor / operator license, and that was always written on our license. And that when Polaris came into play, there was a lot of confusion about that. And that confusion, or trying to clarify that, I think is adding to the confusion. To tell someone who operated for many years that they now need to purchase operator licenses for all of the things that they're licensed in order for that license to be transferable to another state is confusing. And I see where Shauna's coming from, that I don't know where that's written. And I think there are a lot of people who are upset about that. We're talking right now as a board and as a state about portability and the ability for people to move from one state to another. To add that burden to instructors who have assumed for so many years that they had both the instructor and the operator license just doesn't seem to track with what we're trying to do right now. So I think the root is Polaris and not being able to write operator on the license. And maybe we need to discuss some kind of a workaround or fix or a clarification. And this may be something that we need to continue to talk about. I don't know. I just want to throw that out there that we have operated for most of my career. And I think I've been licensed as an instructor since 1987, believing that I had an instructor and operator license in one. And I'll hand that back to you, Chair True.
Great. Thank you so much. Yeah. And then I had my hand raised too, and I'd like to be able to echo what the vice chair had shared as well. I think that, you know, I wanted just to be able to ask a clarification and then also maybe to see if we can give some direction on this conversation. The point of clarification really is, if an instructor right now in Washington State, let's say, would like to move to another state, only has an instructor's license, and let's say Arizona ended up reaching back out to Washington going, hey, is this a licensed cosmetologist? Because they are an instructor that was a licensed cosmetologist. Department of Licensing would verify that that is an active license. Is that correct?
That was what I was trying to explain before, is that if their professional license had been expired, but they just have their instructor license, we cannot give the other state verification of an active professional license since they have the instructor license.
Okay. All right. So it's a reciprocity, right? Because that's ultimately what we're trying to be able to verify. Then it is only under the current way that we're interpreting it, only sits at the instructor's level then. Okay.
Right.
And all right. And what I'd like to do is, I mean, because this impacts, I mean, when I looked at the population for instructors, you're looking about nearly, right, not at 2,000, but nearly almost at 2,000 licensees that hold an instructor's license. I think that this, if we can have discussions with maybe the members of the DOL to be able to sort of work through this here, because I would concur with what the vice chair had shared, is that from our memory is that in the last, not even the last decade, my memory, it's for the last maybe 20 years, right? Maybe even north of that, that this has sort of been a variance from how it's been explained before. And so, looking at the current committees, I mean, we have two subcommittees, Business Practices and Education Committee, and I think it could probably fall under either of them. But I think that it definitely warrants more discussion on this.
I agree. Perhaps we can assign this to the Business Practices Committee, and we can invite some members of the DOL to that to the next subcommittee meeting.
All right.
For in-depth research.
That sounds great. And so I think that's within my purview, right, is to assign it to the Business Practice Subcommittee, or I don't think I need a motion to be able to do that. Okay.
No, Chair Chu, you don't need a motion. It's under your purview. You can assign that to whichever committee you would like to.
Perfect. All right. Great. So let's go ahead and make sure that that is assigned over there and that'll be part of their scope of work for this upcoming year. I see Board Member Martin has her hand up as well. So Board Member Martin.
Thank you, Board Member True. Yeah, I think that the reason why it's such a triggered topic is that when your operator license expires, of course, you're required to go back and retest and retake practicals and written exams. So it's like, well, and that's within a year, right? Like when their license expires after a year. So with whatever is being suggested, if you haven't kept up on your operator license, then, you know, for several years, then how, you know, everybody's required to go back and retest, mm-hmm. even though they're practicing. Like that just, to me, that doesn't make sense. With that being said, I would like to join the business practices subcommittee.
Absolutely. Okay.
We have to limit that subcommittee to 3.
Okay.
Bummer.
All right. Thanks, well, maybe guys. Not absolutely then. All right. But I will share with you. Remember, Martin, we will make sure that your voice is heard.
Thank you. Absolutely. There are a number of, absolutely.
Thank you. I look at the roster that we have here. There's a number, I think almost half of our board have instructors endorsements as well, or licenses. So I'm sure this is going to be, the voice will definitely be represented there. So great. Well, I think, I'm looking around. I don't see any more hands raised, from the board members here. So then I will move on to the next, business here. And I believe it's under new business. We're under old business and we are looking at the CIB updates. So we'll go ahead and Sandy, I'm going to defer over to you to be able to speak to that.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to announce that, the following exams will be updated in early 2024. There hasn't been an exact date, decided yet. So the NIC cosmetology practical exam, the NIC instructor theory exam, and the NIC instructor practical exam. Okay. They will all be updated in 2024. Prometric at DL Roop is hosting an examination overview webinar on November 20th, or on November 29th. The webinar should take approximately 2 hours and invitations will be sent directly from Prometric DL Roop. The updated CIBs will be provided by DL Roop for the examination overview. And when they're available to the public, DL Roop will post them on their website. The updated exams are expected to be implemented and effective within about 3 months after this overview. But the final confirmation of the effective dates will be emailed out to schools the week of November 20th. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions about the CIB updates.
I have a question.
All right. And I think Erica, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Who would be able to attend that November 29th webinar?
That's a great question. And schools and apprentice salons will be invited to attend that webinar.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Perfect. All right. Any other questions that I see here? All right. All right. I don't see any. So let's go ahead and move on to the next agenda item here.
Great. So the next agenda item was inspection modalities. And we had some questions at the last meeting surrounding inspection modalities. So recently, the DOL has ceased offering self-certifications as an inspection option. The current modalities are virtual or in-person. However, they are planning to increase their staff of inspectors, so they're going to be placing more emphasis on in-person inspections.
Perfect.
There was also another question, but that's kind of related to this that I wanted to touch on this at the last board meeting was what happens if there is a salon change of ownership? What happens that way? a change of business ownership will impact which will impact. So I think the question was, in particular, will a change of business ownership impact what inspection modality is available for that new business? So the new business owner is required to get a new salon license. A change in ownership does not require an inspection. However, the new owner will be inspected within 2 years per the statute. And the pre-inspection assistance is required or is requested. DOL will be happy to reach out and do one pre-inspection upon request. And it can be done either virtually or in person. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
So I will look for some hands that are going up. But in the meantime, I did want to just extend our appreciation for DOL's ear on the inspection modalities. I think that I've shared that individually with you, but I wanted to share it in a public forum too, is to thank the DOL for being partners with the industry in this. I mean, it's when we gave feedback, you guys not only took it down, but we feel as though that our voices were heard too. And I just wanted to be able to acknowledge that. So thank you.
Absolutely. I will definitely relay that to our audits team, audits and inspection team.
And at this moment, I don't see any hands up. So I think it's appropriate for us to move on to the next agenda item.
So the next agenda item was endorsement on licensing and state reciprocity agreements. So as you heard, we have a new military spouse and military liaison coordinator who's going to be doing a lot of research in this category. So we are really hoping to be able to dovetail off that so that we can get some more information about state reciprocity agreements, and we can use their research in our work to move this forward. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
I don't see any hands that are coming up on this area here.
My hand up, I can't
see here. I did hear a voice. Was that from a board member?
That was from Mr. Scott.
Right.
From Mr. Scott.
All right. So, Mr. Scott, we will definitely have set aside time for public comments. And so if you could just go ahead and mute your mic at this moment, or if somebody could assist us in muting that, we'll go ahead and make sure that Mr. Scott will have time on there for the public comment portion. All right. So with that, we'll go ahead and move on to the next agenda item. Is the subcommittee reports, and I believe we have board member Martin. You're going to be able to give us an update on the subcommittee reports.
Sorry, Frank. Yes, I'm going to do that. So the first thing that we wanted to update everybody on what the subcommittee has been working on for the medical nail technician endorsement. We put together over a series of meetings, we put together a small set of questions for a survey to help better navigate how to proceed with the public's thoughts at the forefront and their feelings on that topic. So the survey has been formed and it will be sent out to the stakeholders soon via listserv. And so if you're not already, if you're anywhere in the state of Washington, and you're not part of, you haven't signed up for listserv, we urge you to go to the DOL website and then, you know, get signed up for listserv so that you can receive all of these valuable information as it pertains to Washington State and licensing and cosmetology and so forth. So again, go to DOL website via listserv and then get signed up so that you can receive those notifications. And that's really it for the medical nail technician part. And then the other part for the subcommittee was the 1017. Oh, should I ask if there's any questions? Yeah. Frank? So,
yeah, no, that would be great. I'm looking for hands. I didn't see anything here. So.
Sorry. Okay. All right. And then, for Bill 1017 for the subcommittee, We discussed the DOL is working on any issues for implementation of the new referral system. Notifications were sent out to pause on not referring students for testing temporarily. But if you have any questions or concerns, we do want to defer that to the DOL and Sandy for further clarification on that. And is there any, questions or concerns about that?
And I don't see any hands coming up here. And so I do want to express my gratitude for the work of both the subcommittees. I know these are in between our official board meetings and the research that everybody's been doing on the subcommittees. So seeing that there's no hands up from board members, we'll go ahead and we'll move on to, let's see here, the next agenda item. I think this is through the Central Investigation Audit Unit reports. So Sandy, I'll go ahead and defer over to you.
That's great. Thank you so much. So as far as complaint case counts, our total, this is for our second quarter snapshots. Total cases received are 37. Total cases closed, 12. Total cases sent for investigation, 24. Total investigations completed, 14. Total closed, and this is across all time, is 13. We currently have 13 open in complaint intake. That means they haven't been assigned to an investigator or closed. And then open in investigation, current status is 125. And then we have one with our legal compliance unit. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
I was wondering if you could speak to sort of this snapshot right here, because I'm looking at it and I understand that it's titled Q2 2023 snapshot. So I'm assuming it's a second quarter snapshot. So would it be appropriate to assume that the total cases received, 37, would be within that quarter? Would that be that? Okay. And then the close in that intake, the 12, is of that quarter in case count. Total cases sent to investigation would be in that quarter. Now, if we go ahead and we move down to total close, and it is defined as all years, all units, could you clarify what that 13 is? Is that 13 were closed in the second quarter amongst all the years?
So that would reflect this year, all quarters.
Oh, okay. So then if there was a case that was received then in, let's say, December of 2022, right, which would be fourth quarter last year, that would not be included in this report then.
So if it was closed, yes.
It would. Okay.
So the intake date is a little bit irrelevant. So if the intake date was last year, but it was closed this year, it's included in this count.
Got it. All right. Perfect. Okay. All right. And so that would pertain to the next two columns then. Okay. All right. Correct. That's a good question. That's what I got. Any other
that
questions?
That is a great question. Thanks. Okay. And we're hoping that next year we can provide a little bit better reports that show just a little bit more of what the board is interested in seeing. But we're working on it.
Sounds good. All right, I don't see any hands up, so let's go ahead and we'll move on to the next agenda item is going to be the licensee and customer support services report. And we'll go ahead and we'll defer over to Sandy. Sandy, if you could help walk us through this here.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We were able to break out active licensees for a two-year glance by the program. So I'm really excited about this. So we've got in green, let's see, green is September 2023 and blue is September 2022. So I won't go through all of the numbers, but as you can see, we've had a little bit of a steady uptake for 2023, and I think that shows a pretty good movement in the direction that we're looking for.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And next up, we have our first issues and renewals. Now, we haven't been able to break this out by program just yet, but in for the industry as a whole, renewals are the green line, and new licenses are the blue line.
Okay. And so on that, then we're looking at on renewals. So new licenses will include whether it is students that are testing that are just beginning to get their licenses.
Correct.
Or new people that are transferring into Washington State under even reciprocity. Okay. Got it.
Correct. So these are brand new licenses within Washington. Okay. So either from school or through reciprocity. And then the green line is renewals within the state of Washington.
Fantastic. All right. And then under these licensee counts, then these, I'm assuming, are operator licenses and instructors. Do they count salon, spas, and barbershop licenses as well, or?
These are individual.
These are individual,
individual licenses.
Right. All right. Thank you. All right. I don't see any hands on that. Okay.
Excellent. Okay, and we'll move on, and I'll turn it over to Sandra to go through the master action item list.
Thank you, Sandy. The first item we have providing licensee count breakdown of renewals and new issues. We did provide that, and hopefully we'll be able to get more detailed breakdown by type of license in the future. As far as researching additional fees associated with combined licensee print, that was reported out earlier on this agenda, so it will be taken off of the item master action item list. Researching reciprocity agreements with different states, that is going to, well, really both of those are going to be taken off of the action item list. And then find out if there's a choice between inspection modalities was also reported out by Sandy. So that will be taken off the list as well.
Great. Great job. Thanks for the follow-up and making sure that nothing got forgotten. So that's fantastic. Good. And so we are moving on to, I think that...
Chair True, we do have one hand raised.
Oh, we do. Okay, great.
Yes, Vice Chair Garcia.
All right. Vice Chair Garcia, your question or your comment?
Thank you. My question is, should we keep the research additional fees associated with license print on the agenda for the next meeting since the subcommittee is going to work on that?
So I believe that we could switch that over to the subcommittee report out, and the subcommittee can report out on that during their agenda item report out.
Excellent. I just didn't want to lose it.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to move on to agenda item number 8.4 on board commissions and outreach report. And then, and Sandra, I think that, oh, no, that's what we just did. We just completed that. So what we're going to move into is we're going to move into a public comment. So I wanted just to be able to open the floor for the public to address the board, to share their thoughts, concerns, or requests. Written comments may be submitted at least 2 days prior to the meeting by emailing the board at the email you see here on the screen, dolboards@dol.wa.gov. I'm reading that out for people that are dialing in. And I'd like to be able to see if any staff member, ask the staff if there's been any comments that were submitted in writing. If so, I'd like those comments to be read.
Thank you, Chair Chu. Yes, we did receive some written comments, and the individual submitting the comments wishes to remain anonymous.
Okay.
It states, I have had self-certification occur in a couple of my salons, and I'm in favor of it. One question that was raised is what happens upon change of ownership? That should be easy. A, upon change in ownership, the new owner should be required to get a new salon license, and B, your criteria for self-certification, history of no serious violations, should be attached to the salon license number so that new owners are automatically scheduled for in-person inspections. I don't believe there is presently a, and then this goes on to state, I don't believe there is presently a board seat for a non-operator salon owner. As a result, owners of many salons don't have a voice on this board. My organization has 16 hair salons in Washington State, and we have over 125 employee operators. And so would like to have a louder voice at the DOL. Please consider adding such a seat. That concludes the public comments.
Right. And so, thank you so much. And I think that just to be able to, direct, some of the attention is that, you know, your comments are important. If you submit them and you take time to write them, we will read them. And then it will also, generate other discussions that will come out of that. I think based on that, then what we'll do is I do see hands that are coming up. I also see Mr. Scott has asked for time as well. And so I wanted to be able to read out some of the reminders is that members of the public, while you're addressing the board, please remember each member of the public is limited to a 3-minute comment. Comments submitted in writing count towards your 3 minutes. Comments must be on matters that are within the board jurisdiction. Board members, this is for you. Board members are limited to directing staff to study the matter or requesting the matter be scheduled for a later discussion. So board members, those are the two options that you have when it comes down to public member statements. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to be able to acknowledge Mr. Scott to be able to speak, and then we will go ahead and follow up with, is it Marisha Lawson? You will be following Mr. Scott. So Mr. Scott, you have 3 minutes.
Okay. First off, 3 minutes is not long enough for comments for the public. Secondly, this thing that's the biggest problem is the license itself. Do we have a degree, a certificate, hours? That's supposed to be logged somewhere in the state where they know that. We shouldn't have to keep reapplying for a license. It should be a stipulation. So basically, your license means nothing, but other licenses mean, like, doctors don't have to redo this. Why do we have to recertify for some we already had and earned in this state, paid for, and have a certificate for? Nobody else does that in any field. I don't understand. That's the easiest fix. You talk about reciprocity for the Army. We need reciprocity for the people in this state that have licenses that can't get them back. What if I went into a coma for 3 years? So now I gotta wait. My license is lapsed because I didn't do it. I didn't certify through you in time to get a license. It should be a stipulation and a fee for that. Our license should be valid, period. It should not be able to be taken away from you for the state and say it's not good. We pay for those hours. I don't care when you took a test or when you did certification. You had a license and you could prove you had a license. You should be able to get a license back with some kind of fee. Sorry about, man, this is angry because it's so simple. And we're going through board meetings, chairs, all this. I haven't been part of this industry, but I'll be at every meeting from here on. I've been in this game for 20 years, and a lot of things at that board that's being done is idiotic. We can make more money certifying people in this state who have licenses that can't get certified because they lapse a 3-year or 4-year period that who deemed this? Why is our license not good like a doctor or any other field? Why do we go through this? Cosmetologists, barbers, why do we go through this? I'm very agitated. I'm sorry. I respect you guys, and I know you do a job that I haven't been doing, but it got to get better than this. It's simple. Just like them ladies try to make everybody work for a salon, and overnight that went on the TV and they changed it. You guys can change things for the simplicity of us. There's lots of thousands of people you can get money from for recertifying their licenses. I had took my instructor hours for BJ long ago. I can't even take my test now because those hours are not good enough. Why is that? I pay for that. It shouldn't have no time limit on my hour. My certification, I'm sorry, I'm done. But I'll write in the next time because I don't want to seem agitated, but it gets me upset because this is simple. If my license left for me being in a coma, I come out of coma, I got to do everything over because why? Who made that rule?
All right. Huh?
Sorry.
That's all right, Mr. Scott. I wanted to be able to thank you for your comments. I also want to acknowledge your passion for the position as well. And I think that it is important for members of the public to be at these meetings. I mean, I can tell you, I've been coming to these for a long time.
And like I said, I respect you guys. Like you got a whole division of military reciprocity, but you don't have reciprocity for people in this state who have hours, who are getting them thrown away. I paid thousands of dollars for them hours. They should be logged in a database and kept there in this state. If you make a license in this state, it should be in a database. Reciprocity is something different for other people in another state. But what about this state? You can make millions of dollars.
And Mr. Scott, I think that what will be helpful is that, yes, I want to encourage you to continue to do
that. Listen, I'm going to say something to you guys because you don't know. I was about to mount a lawsuit against this state because that's wrong to do us like that. There shouldn't be a time period on our credentials and our license when we gain it.
Yeah. And Mr. Scott, we'll look forward to being able to.
That's the biggest fix of all this stuff you talk about right now. It's a fix.
And Mr. Scott, what we'll do is we'll go ahead and we'll move on to the we appreciate your time here. We're going to move on to the next hand that was raised. And I will go ahead and recognize Mariska Lawson. And then followed by that will be. And I saw the hand was brought down. I think board member Thomas. But Mariska Loskin,
Markeisha. You have 3 minutes. Yeah, this is Markeisha.
Markeisha, you have 3 minutes. Mm-hmm.
So I just want to make sure that it's put out there very clearly on what an instructor needs as far as operating and making it clear to cosmetologists, barbers, whoever, that it's kind of imperative to keep up with both licenses because you don't know what life is going to hand you. And instead of just saying that an instructor can work commercially on their instructor license without having an active cosmetology license, I think people can get a little bit confused and have things misconstrued when you say things like that. So I just kind of want to know what your response is on just making it adamant that everyone just keep up with all their licenses because they don't know what life is going to hand them. And if they do have to get reciprocity in another state, they're going to have to renew, you know, take a test here to get their Cosmo, Barber, whatever, to move in any kind of happenstance.
And Markeisha, I want to thank you for that comment. I know that part of today's discussion is that this is really important to be able to get that clarity. And then we've assigned it to the business practices subcommittee. And I think that it definitely will get attention, but it's definitely been added to the subcommittee's discussion. And what I'm hoping to do is to be able to get greater clarity at our next meeting on where we stand on that. So thank you.
Okay. Perfect.
And then I have board member Thomas that has her hand raised right here. And so I'll go ahead and recognize board member Thomas.
Hey, how are you guys? I'll just put my camera on for a second because I was multitasking. Anyway, hi. I just wanted to acknowledge something from Mr. Scott, and I was back and forth on this because I didn't want to overstep my boundaries. However, just to say this to you, I understand what you're saying because I also am an operator as far as a cosmetology instructor. But honestly, the renewing of a license, just if I can explain, I wouldn't want somebody driving that did not have a license for 6 years, me personally, because you're first of all, in the public, around the public, and you're dealing with a big machinery, right? Well, it's the same if you are an instructor and you have not kept up with the times and the thing like the continuing education and there's new technology, like they're on Kahoot.
Board Member Thomas, I just wanted to be able to remind you that under the current rules, board members.
What about the years you spent in it?
What I'll need
that's
to do
thrown
is,
away?
Mr. Scott, well, I need you to be able to stop.
That's why I was back and forth, but you're right. Okay. But Mr. Scott, I understand, but just for safety reasons. But go ahead, Mr. Frank.
Who made that? I just want to know who came up with that in the first place, because it stops everything and it hurts everybody. That rule hurts all of our professions.
And I think that
what we... It's not the time for your credentials. Why is it a time? So get a certification. Make a new chemical.
All right. And so thank you very much. So right now, we do have to adhere to certain rules for the to the meeting right here. And I wanted to let you know that your voices are important. But we do have rules that govern the meeting. And I'd like to be able to see if there's any other individuals that would like to be able to make public comments here. Okay. All right. Seeing none, I believe that this will conclude our, if there's any other announcements that we need to be able to share. And, okay. I do see a hand from Board Member Shauna, Board Member Martin. I'll recognize Board Member Martin.
Thank you, Frank. I wanted to go back to the Bill 1017 just for a second, because and talk about the notification that was sent. It says that there's confusion, but I wanted to know if anybody can clarify, is the confusion happening after they test or before they test at the state level?
So when
to refer the student for testing.
Okay. So just to clarify, you're speaking about the email that was sent out most recently from DOL regarding students, regarding like clicking the box where that you can refer them to testing. Is that right?
Correct. Because I thought it was, I thought it was pretty clear. You know, like the student is at 100 hours, they get an email to sign up to test. Then the student tests at the state level. And then the student continues at school to complete all of the graduation requirements. And then upon graduation, then is issued the license. So the license is supposed to be held until all of that's done. So is that correct? Or is that where the confusion's at?
So what I'm going to do I see a member of the staff, Sandra Gonzalez has her hand raised. I'm going to go ahead and ask her to be able to address that. I've worked closely with Sandra on this as well. So, Sandra.
Hi, thank you so much. I can help answer that question. I'm trying to take my hand down there at the moment. Okay. So if you remember 1017, the schools don't refer students for testing any longer. That is done automatically through the system when they are within 100 hours of completing their minimum hour requirements. They automatically get referred for testing. The notice was to let you know that an email has been going out. When you click that, I certify the student has graduated and completed, right? It's sending out an email in error that before they've passed their exams that they can now apply. They pass their exams and they can now apply for license. So that's the error. The error is occurring when you check that box. And so we're asking all schools and apprenticeship salon shops to not click that box temporarily until we get a fix in.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome.
Right. All right. All right. I don't see any hands up. I'm going to go ahead and we will go ahead and announcements. Are there any other announcements that we need to be able to make, Sandra? Sandra, please.
Yeah. So I apologize. Through entirely my failure, I was requested to have an agenda item put onto the agenda, and I did not include it. It slipped my mind. But Board Member Thomas had requested that we discuss adding a new program for ethnic hair services. That was something that I thought maybe the education subcommittee might want to tackle, or the best practices. I just wanted to make sure that we either get that on the agenda for next meeting or have it addressed by one of the subcommittees.
So let's go ahead and let's address it to, let's go ahead and defer it over to this, the education subcommittee and put it on their agenda. And if we need to elevate that to a full board agenda item, we will. But thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. And I knew that there was a point too where we were going to talk about budgets too, but I think that that can be a future discussion in 2024. Board Member Martin, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, thank you for entertaining me, Frank. I wanted to know if are we going to be discussing any kind of new business today? Or is that something that I need to put on a request for the agenda item?
So just to be able to clarify, yeah, because these meetings are public, that's why we have the rules that govern these meetings, is that there are certain levels of notices that we have to be able to give the public before we tackle certain topics. And so if you'd like, please, we're actually moving to the conclusion of today's call. So if you'd like to be able to submit that, we can definitely put these onto the agenda items for the next board meeting. And I think that that's probably going to be most appropriate.
Thank you.
And all right, so we're going to go ahead and review action items, I think, which we have reviewed it, right? We are good.
Yeah, so this is reviewing the action items from this meeting. Okay. And I actually do have two. Okay. I have one that is for staff to review and ensure that the DOL website clearly states operator versus inspector and individual fees. Or excuse me, not fit. We do have the fees, but operator versus inspector information and step-by-step instructions for operator portability reciprocity to another state, if that's not already there, to ensure that it gets put there. And also another action item for DOL licensing staff to attend the next business practice subcommittee meeting to discuss combined licensee prints. And that may not be licensing, but I'll reach out. But for DOL area of expertise to work with that subcommittee. And then also the thing I just mentioned with adding the program for ethnic care services, adding that to the education subcommittee roster.
All right.
And I do apologize, Board Member Martin, what was the agenda item that you were wanting to put onto next meeting?
Thanks, Sandra. Yeah, so I know that it's been a topic in the past that we've actually discussed and worked on, but I feel the need to readdress it and put it on the agenda again. There's a large amount of people in Washington State who have been expressing the frustration of the renewal process for both their operator and their salon shop on the DOL website. I know that DOL is working very hard, right? And everybody's trying to get everything accommodated. And we've heard that the DOL staff as well are still learning how to navigate it, which even triples the frustration, I think, for the actual public that's licensed and trying to achieve these things. These are concerns and complaints that are coming from, you know, in person, through chats, online, through social media, conversations with other licensed professionals in general, and they're all having the same problem. And then they're actually so frustrated with the process online on the DOL website that they're actually just going like, well, I guess I will just print it out, mail it in the old-fashioned way. We're literally in 2023, and I feel like
we can definitely address that at the next meeting.
Perfect. Thanks, Sandy and Sandra. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And Sandy and Sandra, a quick question here, because I do want to make sure that people can participate in this. If members of the public wanted to be able to submit in items for us to be able to talk about, is it only through the public comment process, or are they able to reach out to in the interim to be able to go ahead and and ask for topics to be discussed?
That's a fantastic question. And that's part of the responsibilities as a board member is to be a liaison for the people of your industry. So if the people of your industry would like to reach out to you personally and bring agenda items, bring concerns to you personally, then you can go ahead and bring it to us and we can add it to the agenda and we can run that by the chair and the vice chair. During our agenda setting, that's fantastic. They can reach out to each board member individually.
That sounds great. Perfect. And then I'd like to, I see a hand up from our board member, Erica.
Yes, I just wanted to say, to piggyback off of that, I am a brand new board member, but I think it's really important that anybody that is a master esthetician listening know that they can contact me directly, that I'm very accessible, and that any concerns I'm happy to bring to the board and talk to the board about. So if they don't want to try and find a work through channels, that's what I feel like my role is here. And I'm happy for them to reach out to me directly any way that they can. And that I will comprise information and bring it to the board for them.
Thank you
That's
so much.
That's excellent. I also want to add that if members of the public want to email that DOL boards that we email that we had with agenda items, we can also take that to the agenda setting meetings with our chair and vice chair as well.
Very good. Thank you. And then I have board member Martin, your hand is also up.
Thank you, Frank. I think I wanted to also piggyback off what Ms. Erica was stating. So, of course, right, like we want people to get a hold of us. Where is it made public, like how to contact us from other cities than the one that we live in? Like, where would we post that? Is that on your guys' DOL site for the advisory board members, like how to contact them?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is?
Yes, it should be on the website, on our website.
Yeah. On how to contact individual board members?
I think it is.
Okay.
I'll double check on that.
And if it's not, and I'm not sure because I haven't looked at the site, but if it's not, and I think that you have your board members here that are open to be able to have these conversations. Mr. Scott, I know that there's a lot of things that you wanted to share that wasn't permitted based on the current rules right here, but feel free to reach out to us. If it's not on there, I believe, Sandy, we can have them email the main list, the main email, and then they can put us in contact with each other. I just haven't looked at the page, so I'm not sure how that's set up, but.
Absolutely. If any members of the public want to email our DOL boards at dol.wad.gov, we will 100% forward that email to the individual board member, and then you can talk from there.
Great. All right. Well, based on that here, I think that it was a good meeting that we had. There was a lot of participation, and I think we still have some good topic and some good work ahead of us for 2024. Mm-hmm. With that, I'd like to be able to adjourn the meeting. Our next board meeting is on April 8th, 2024 at 10 a.m. It's a virtual meeting via Teams. I do want to note that our goal as a board is to be able to have an in-person meeting in 2024. And so we have that process in place. But with that, I will go ahead and wish everyone a wonderful fourth quarter here, and we will look forward to seeing you in 2024.
Okay. Thank you so much to everyone for your participation. Mm-hmm.